Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Richard Rossi Live. That's the unbelievably great singer, Tony Bennett. Frank Sinatra called him the best singer he'd ever heard, and he's singing I Left My Heart in San Francisco. We're excited. We're headed to San Francisco. I'll be in person next Wednesday, May 7th at 7 p.m. at the Vogue Theater. I'm excited to be there, where the wonderful Vogue Theater, it's a historic theater, 100 years old, over 100 years old. Adam, the wonderful gentleman that runs that theater, is hosting us to show our film that I wrote and directed, Baseball's Last Hero, 21 Clemente Stories. So I invite all of you to come up to the Vogue Theater that are in the Bay Area. I look forward to meeting you in person. We'll be showing the film, and it's hosted by Giants broadcasting legend Marty Lori is our host. I'll be playing the theme song from the film in person on my guitar and singing it for you. There's a lead guitarist that'll be playing with me who's one of the best flamenco guitarists in the world. Freddie Clark will be playing with me. And it's going to be a tremendous time. I'm going to do a Q&A after the film. I'll be there with our director of photography, Jeff Griffith. And so you can go to brownpapertickets.com. and get tickets there, or the Vogue Theater site. You can buy tickets there. Should be fine to buy them at the door, but you're always safer to get them in advance. Tony Bennett, what a voice. What a voice. We had a great screening, by the way, last Saturday night in Sherman Oaks, and we had quite a few cast members present for that and did a Q&A after, and it went very, very well, and it was such a blessing. We had a great turnout. But today I want to answer some listener questions, and I want to give a warning that this show will be, PG-13 or R rating today, because some of the questions that have come in are of a sexual nature, dealing with sex and love issues. Not all the questions. We'll be discussing other things as well. But I want to put that out there, because if you have any kids around the computer listening to the show, it's just some of the questions are of an adult nature and may not be appropriate today for small children, because I love to keep children as long as possible, innocent and unaware of certain things until the appropriate age-appropriate times. So let's get right into our questions, and many of these have been sent in. I address a lot of these same issues in my book, Create Your Life, Daily Meditations on Creativity. We have a question that has come in from Lisa in Oregon, and it has to do with timelines. This show, we help a lot of folks get to their goals and their passions, and this is a person that says, when am I going to get my big break? That's the essence of the question. The question starts off, when am I going to get my big break, Richard? What's the timeline? I'm working so hard, and I don't feel like I'm making much progress. I pursued my dream of being an actress. I've only got a few roles in some student films, some short films, and a little independent, low budget, but I wanted to be supporting myself 100%, working mainstream TV and big budget films, and I'm not there. And I've been at this thing now about 9 years. Well, I think it's really important, Lisa, and to all the artists out there listening. By the way, you want to call in a question, our guest call-in line is up there at the top at the screen, 347-637-2379, 347-637-2379. Lisa, it's important to remember a spiritual principle, and it's three words, easy to remember, easy to think about, Lisa, and it's progress, not perfection, progress, not perfection. It's important to give yourself credit for the progress you've made. When you pursued this acting thing, you don't have any credits, zero, zip, zilch, and now you have half dozen credits. Are you winning Oscars yet? No. Are you supporting yourself full-time? No. But stay away from all or nothing thinking. That's deadly. And realize you're making progress towards your goal. And let me relate personally, share something personal, my own experience. As an example, as I mentioned at the outset, I made a film about my childhood hero, Roberto Clemente. And we've screened it a dozen times in five states thus far, and it's up there on Amazon. People are getting it. It's my second feature dramatic film I've made. But does my acting and filmmaking support me, all my bills? No, it doesn't. I get some income from my acting and my directing work, but it's not all or nothing. It's not, but I've made progress, see? When I came to Hollywood 3,000 miles to get into filmmaking, I didn't have any films under my belt other than a couple little student films I made as a kid. So it's important that you realize that you're making progress and the waiting period is tough. And you may feel like you're in limbo or like something's blocking you, like that Kurt Cobain song, Something's in the Way, like something's in the way. But you're coming around the mountain soon. Be patient. I know patience might feel like a bad word, a four-letter word sometime. Sometimes you feel like Linus and Sally, if you remember the old Peanuts Halloween special, and they're waiting and waiting for the great pumpkin to show up. When is it going to show up? It's taking too long. And will it show up? I'm not God. I can't give you a specific time. I can't say at 12 noon next Wednesday you're going to get your big break. I can't give you the when and the how, but I can give you the what, that if you keep doing it for the doing it's sake, and detach from the ego as much as you can, Lisa. Detach from the result and put it in God's hands and trust that good things are around the corner for you, because I feel the good things are around the corner for all of you that are listening. And I have a song running in my head as I'm speaking. It's an old gospel song that I love by Andre Crouch. And he sang it at Michael Jackson's funeral, and it's Soon and Very Soon. You remember the song? Soon and Very Soon. And, you know, you're almost there. Just keep going. It's about progress, not perfection. You know, there's a lot in the Bible about waiting. And there's a psalm I committed to memory that I really cherish, Psalm 27, and it says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. The word Hebrew word wait has a meaning almost like a waiter in a restaurant. It's kind of a busy waiting. It's a waiting where you're still being of service, you're still doing footwork, you're still moving forward. As Confucius said, the journey of 1,000 miles, it starts with the next step. And so keep moving forward. Keep journaling. If you haven't started the habit of daily journaling about your feelings and your progress, I strongly suggest it. I'm pretty systematic with that. I write at least 3 or more pages of morning writing about my life, my feelings, my experiences, my art, my questions, and that helps me be in touch with myself as I'm moving forward. Another question has come in, and this question comes in from Diane in Asheville, North Carolina. She got some bad press. She got some criticism in her local community, some people that were jealous over her, and she writes about that. How do I handle it? I guess they put down one of her creative projects and also brought up something from her past of an unpleasant nature to slam her in a little local rag there. Many artists have had bad press, Diane. Michael Jackson and Woody Allen have been called pedophiles in newspapers and online. Mel Gibson, Walt Disney, and Marlon Brando have been called anti-Semites in the media. We're in a weird age. I don't know if any of you are following this whole Donald Sterling thing. He's the owner of the Clippers. And he was is being confronted that he must sell the Clippers because of some comments he made in a conversation with a woman that is, some allege, is his mistress. And I've been on the front lines fighting racism and fighting for civil rights and working with African-American pastors. So my whole life I've deplored racism and stood against racism. But it's there's another issue at play, I think, in this case, and that is that this man may have been taped against his consent in a private conversation, and which I think is illegal wiretapping if it is, in fact, without his consent. I'm not a lawyer. But then also that that private conversation has become public as a means of taking away his property. And the issue with free speech is free speech protects even the worst things that people can say. Free speech protects Nazis. Free speech protects everybody. But the issue with the Sterling case that I think a lot of times the mainstream media doesn't dig, it's easy for everyone to jump on crucifying this man now. He's a very easy target to kick while he's down because he made some racist remarks that are, of course, reprehensible. But there's a larger issue, and that is we're in a society where we have a media that nothing is off guard. Nothing is off boundaries. So anything even in someone's private lives, we're in a society of the 15 minutes of fame where it's quite possible that some of you may have something that you put online or say privately or something that, you know, a mistake in your past that can be used to give you bad press. The rules have changed, in other words. Be it online or traditional media, the media has sharper fangs. Someone confronted one of the reporters about, you know, well wait a second, you're releasing information that may be illegally obtained in a private conversation. Didn't you weigh the fact of the fact that this could be extortion, that this could possibly be? And the media outlet said, you know, no, it's what sells, you know, sex sells, scandal sells, a powerful person being just, you know, being toppled sells. And that's where we're at today. The media has sharper fangs. And personal attacks on people are very common today. Thanks to the Internet, anyone, anywhere can defame you anonymously online. A lot of folks are too chicken to give their real name, but they'll knock you or knock your work. You know, we have, you know, even sites that purport to be encyclopedic, like Wikipedia, you know, that people think, oh, it's a fact if it's on Wikipedia, but the thing is anyone can write anything in even a Wikipedia article. The only standard for verification is that it links back to a news article that says the same thing. So if one newspaper lies about you or slanders you, someone can add that link to a Wikipedia article and it can sound very factual as if it's true. So you can refute some of the lies, Diane, when people lie about you or your projects. But you have to keep in mind there's certain things we can change and certain things we can't change. And there are certainly spiritually sick individuals. They don't have a life of their own. And these are the folks before the Internet that used to call into talk shows every day and knock, you know, the successful people or the famous athletes or the famous artists. But now they can just go online, have an anonymous name or a fake profile and just, you know. But I say forget the negative. Don't let it cross over the bridge from their poison pens into your spirit, Diane. Remember what Eleanor Roosevelt said, that nobody can make you feel bad about yourself without your permission. And Woody Allen had a big thing recently accused of a molestation incident in the past. The thing about Woody, Woody denies that it's true, but Woody keeps making a movie every year. He keeps doing his work. And there are people fixated on and can't let go of the fact he married the 18-year-old adopted stepdaughter, Mia Farrow, an actress he was once dated. They continue to post accusations that Woody is a pedophile. But Woody wins in the artistic sense, Diane. You know why? He keeps doing it. He keeps doing his work. And he leaves behind this legacy of great movies like Annie Hall, the movies that will be remembered long after the slander has quieted down. God turns minus sign into a plus sign in today's world because when there is negative press or controversy about you, today it's actually good. It does increase your value because you sell more papers, you get more hits on the sites. The reason tabloid photographers make so much money taking pictures of the Kardashians or Lindsay Lohan or Paris Hilton and is because they were accused of bad behavior. They were slandered. They had this certain reputation, some would say deserved, some would say undeserved. So you actually now have more value, even monetary value, to a scandal-hungry press. So just put in God's hands if you've been slandered publicly, Diane, and keep doing legitimate artistic work like Woody Allen, and you win. Because if you can create something of value, you're not going to be someone who's just famous for being famous, like the Kardashians or Snooki or Paris Hilton. And look, Jesus said, judge not lest you be judged. I brought up some controversial things. I'm not Donald Sterling's judge. I'm not Snooki's judge or the Kardashians' judge or Paris Hilton's judge. I'm not judging these ladies or knocking them down. If success is defined the way our culture keeps score, making money, then these ladies have done it. But I predict that future people will soon not know these names. You know, in 5-10 years, people will be, who's Snooki? Because unless they stop the real life drama and do some legitimate artistic work that enriches the culture, and they can do it if they grow spiritually and artistically, they can put something out there. So, you know, don't let bad press, destroy you. It increases your value and you can draw on it creatively. And so just take the gifts God gave you and make something out of those gifts. That is success. So now we're going to get into our adult subjects. We've had some questions come in about sexual relationships, sexual attractions. We have a letter come in. This is from, a man named Daryl, wants to leave his last name, obviously, out of this for anonymous reasons, who got involved with someone who is now destroying him with private information regarding their involvement with each other. This is very similar to the headlines with the Donald Sterling individual who trusted this woman who taped him privately, and now it's destroying everything. And it's as age old as the Samson story in the Bible. Do you remember Samson? How he trusted Delilah, and she cut his hair and took away his power, took away his strength. I was in a play, Elmer Gantry. I played Elmer Gantry, and I was brought down by my character's involvement. Got involved with the prostitute, and it's just such an age old story. So let's talk about sexual attractions that bring someone down. Have you been involved in a relationship that didn't work out, and you have a propensity to get involved too soon or inappropriately sexually involved with people who aren't the best for you, and you're bringing all this drama and pain in your life? Well, don't beat yourself up for this. Number one, you're human. You have a rich, full life, and you know, it's better than being in a coma. You're human. You've not always been perfect. But part of spiritual growth is gaining awareness. And when we're younger, our frontal lobes haven't developed, and we're like puppies sniffing around a garbage can. Before long, we tip the can over. We have garbage. We're covered in garbage, and we're like, what happened? So take a moment and try to get some awareness of how did you get involved in unhealthy relationships? How did you lack sound judgment in this area? How did you get involved? Maybe it could be a marriage or a relationship that's not working now. And take a look, take a step back. Even the relationships that don't work out or that end or that end up being not a healthy, great relationship gave you some gifts. They give you something. I have a friend of mine just got divorced, but they said, you know what, I wouldn't undo it. I got these three beautiful kids. They want to be the way that they are, had not our combination of genetics come together, you know, 20 years ago. And you know, there's always something that comes out of even a bad relationship. And Picasso's painting started a new period, a new style, with each new mistress was like a new muse. However, this warning, Will Robinson, that's playing with fire. Because if you have 100 internal horses for creativity, horsepower, and you use 90 of those horses to act out sexually, you don't have as much horsepower left to create, or to use a more modern metaphor, a hard drive of a computer. If your hard drive is all filled up with all this drama, you're going to have less space on your hard drive to create. It's like, how do I put it? Keep the drama out of your life and put the drama on the page and on the stage if you're a creative individual. Sometimes in the arts, particularly in all of life, but I know a lot of artists listen to the show, you'll be working with attractive people, and sometimes they give you a compliment or even a come on, or some of you have gotten involved in unhealthy relationships in which the person outright seduced you. And my grandpa used to say, don't mess around in your own backyard or don't poop on the plate where you eat. And that's pretty crude, but when you get involved with people you're working with closely, it's very dangerous. I know a director who was flattered by the attention and admiration of this actress, who was a real good-looking woman, young starlet, 20 years his junior. So he had this ego boost of this beautiful young woman that liked him, and she had an under five role on his film. Under five in Hollywood nomenclature means under five lines. Well, she's in the film, and the first cut of the film is 38 minutes longer than the distributor wants, and they're like, you got to cut some stuff out of this film. It's too long. You know, the theater has so much time allocated, and if you know, we won't be able to do as many showings in a theater. We can run it more times during the day, make more money, cut some scenes. Some of the cuts the studio editor made were the five lines his sex buddy had. The poop hits the fan. She sues. She takes private, kind of like the Sterling story, private conversations, puts a lot of stuff out there that really revealed the type of person that she was. So watch out for these temptations to act out sexually with someone you have a dual relationship with, like a director, for instance, who is a quasi-authority figure to the actress. And if you're a boss, a teacher, a director, a counselor, a minister, be very careful and keep your hands off the sheep in your flock. It could cause some real problems. I mean, you can look at people like Mel Gibson, who got involved with this, remember the Russian mistress and all the controversy, or Paul McCartney, asked Paul McCartney about Heather Mills. And I read a Reader's Digest article when Paul McCartney and Heather Mills were first together, and Paul said, you know, it's so refreshing. She didn't even know who I was or who the Beatles were. So he said something like that she had convinced him that she liked him just for him and had no idea about his past career or something. I was scratching my head. Are you kidding me? What, did she grew up under a rock or what? And that ended up being billions of dollars. And when she broke up with Paul McCartney, she sued him went after him in court for so much money, and you know, she was getting six figures, and that wasn't enough, and then started just slandering Paul that he was a, you know, abusive drug addict. And so, look, be very careful with these kind of temptations. Watch out for the emotional roller coaster that can result from sexual attractions. There's a book that's a great self-help classic, if you haven't read it, called Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill, and he talks about the principle of sexual transmutation, that when two people are attracted to each other, that can be an inspiration towards better work if they keep proper boundaries and don't act on it. Now, some would say two people who are attracted to each other can't be friends or work together. However, a person that can handle that, it can really be inspiring. You know, Andy Warhol said that too. Andy Warhol said if two people are sexually attracted to one another and don't act on it, not only is the relationship better, but the art that is created is better. Very interesting what Warhol had to say about that. Now, another question, with several questions of a sexual nature coming in. I'll try to cover them pretty quickly. We're almost out of time. Well, this is one, get the kids away from the radio. I know they have those Viagra commercials on now during prime time, but this is kind of adult content, and it's about kind of erectile issues that might be a digression or feel like a digression into Dr. Ruth territory or Kinsey territory. But there's a moral to the story that will help you as an artist, even if the sexual part doesn't apply to you, you know, stay with me here. But I've worked as a, you know, a ministerial counselor, and I've had many, many people discuss problems with me. And I made a journey from scripture to script, from kind of church work to movie making, from minister to movie maker, and took off my ministerial clothes and found a ministry beyond my wildest dreams as an artist. In fact, I came up with a saying that art is a ministry and ministry is an art. So people, you know, tell me their problems. They need someone non-judgmental to talk to sometimes. And a famous 50-something actor and his new bride came to me and said, Richard, got to talk to you. I have a sexual adjustment situation that's presented some problems for us. And the wife hinted at the problem and said, Richard, I hope he doesn't feel inadequate. So with their anonymity and their permission to share this story without too much detail, I'm not going to give you TMI, too much information. Here's basically what happened. The wife was a sexy former model and thought their issue was her. Oh, something must be wrong with me because my husband, a Hollywood, famous Hollywood Lothario, can't maintain an erection. It must be something wrong with my looks. So I told the wife, I said, look, the problem is not you. You're a desirable woman. Guys will give their right arm to have you wink at them. But the aging male sex symbol felt this pressure to live up to his mythic image. So he was having an average issue at his age, that sometimes it's a little hit and miss, but yet he had this tremendous pressure because of his reputation. And the truth is that even though this guy was a sex symbol, a lot of sex symbols out there in the media aren't always that into sex 24/7. You know, when Natalie Wood was dating Elvis, she complained that he just wanted to cuddle and talk and not really do anything. And I know an actress who's a famous pinup and told me she hates sex, and it's causing tension in her marriage, and yet she's the object of millions of male fantasies in the centerfolds. So I suggest the guy get a medical checkup. Sometimes there's plumbing problems and prostate problems, and yeah, there was. His blood vessels were clogged like old pipes. And then secondly, I told him to forget the pressure. We were having this private discussion over coffee at Starbucks, and I said, look, you know, most important thing is you want to be with your best friend. You have pressure to perform because of your age and reputation. But a relationship's like a flower, man. It needs time to water, to nurture, to blossom, bloom, the sunshine, the warmth. Love is spelled T-I-M-E. Forget the goal. What's in your head is the goal. Lower expectations and just enjoy the connection of being together. Sex is about connection, not about perfection. But Richard, what if I can't please her? I lose her, a younger guy. I said, look, it's about the emotional connection. She's a good woman. She wants more than anything to look in your eyes and feel an emotional connection. The eyes are the windows to the soul. And sex does not always equal intercourse. Forget about it for a while. Pleasure each other in other ways. But I don't want to lose her. I said, look, if there's a real love, a real agape, godly, good love, which agape in the Bible is unconditional love, then even if you were bedridden, you could be creative and find ways to love each other and to laugh and to be buddies and have a good time and be natural. But he had so much riding on it because she was on a pedestal. And when you have a woman that high on a pedestal because she's so beautiful and you have yourself under this pressure as the great Don Juan, and you know how men are, want to get the goal, want to perform. You know, men like sports because it's about getting the basketball through the hoop or the football over the goal line or the home run. And I said, quit making it a fetish out of intercourse and out of your penis here. And I talked very frank with him. And I said, you know, just relax. And a few months later, the happy couple contacted me and picked me up at my apartment. We drove down Ventura Boulevard. Knowing my love for cigars, he gave me a Cohiba, and we talked, and he said, oh, thank you, Richard, for your advice. It's okay now. We relax and just enjoy being together. Even running errands is enjoyable. Our physical intimacy follows our growing emotional connection. And, hey, sex isn't always perfect, but sometimes a momentary incident of impotence doesn't matter right now. We're getting to know each other. And then we picked up his wife at the gym, and she hopped in and says, you know, I think it's this way for me, Richard, and I think it's this way for a lot of other women. It's more, like you said, about the emotional connection. Yes, his sex appeal brought us together in the beginning, but it's the last thing I think. But it's the last thing I think about in the end. I just like being with my husband. Isn't that great? So, one last question, or giving me a minute warning, and this is about getting over the hurt of a romantic obsession that goes awry, because this happens to many people, and we have this came in from an actress. How do I can't let go. I'm not sleeping. I'm not eating. How do I let go of this romantic obsession? Well, artists are sensitive, and that's a blessing and a curse. We feel things intensely, so when a lover leaves or walks away, that hurts. But bless those who walk away from you. They're making room for those who don't. And sometimes good-hearted, intelligent people fall for charming, narcissistic people who come on and seduce you and they say you're the greatest and they mirror the ideal person for a while, but then they change. Now, a healthier person with a good self-esteem can put it behind him and say next, but if you have self-esteem issues, you're going to hang on longer. You're going to say, why did this happen? And it's harder for you to detach. So you're going to get some better self-esteem, some better boundaries. That's one of the important things to work on is boundaries. Maybe as a kid you had to try to get your mom and dad's attention. Maybe adults used emotional blackmail. And so you meet these folks that seem so charming, but sometimes they just got a voice for promises. Now, this is very important, and I'm going to wrap up with this. Pinning your hope on another person is what gets you in the mess. Letting go is critical. To let go is the difference between holding a hand and chaining a soul. And learning to love and be free means you realize kisses aren't contracts, compliments aren't promises, and you let go with the grace of a maturing artist, not the grief of a child. But Richard, I can't let. Is this the one for me? Should I let go? Have they found someone else? Did I do something wrong? No, hold on, stop. That's codependence, and you need to be God-dependent, not codependent. When your thoughts towards the other person are codependent, it's, you are my joy, you are my source of my okayness, I need you to be whole. And of course we need encouragement from others, compliments from others, but being codependent is the attitude of, I can't be happy without you. You're my source of everything, not God. Now, we have to acknowledge God is the source and people are the avenues. So say to yourself, I am enough. Don't attach your happiness and your quality of life to another person. And as the old saying says, I used to have this on a poster in my room in the 70s, if you love someone, let them go. Set them free. If they come back, they're yours. If they don't, they never was. Pray. Give it to God. Give it to God. Put it in God's hands. Give up your hands and pray and say, Thy will be done. Cut the toxic soul ties. Things come in God's time. And quit asking why. Why did it happen? Why did this person seduce me? Why did the relationship not last? Why questions get you into trouble, like wanting to know why. There's no end to that. Why didn't they return my call? Why haven't they texted me in a month? Ignorance is bliss in the why questions. The better question is what. What can I do to take care of myself and heal? What's next? What step can I take to move forward? What can I do today to take care of me? Let go of the past so the new can come. Forget what lies behind and reach forward to the prize before you, to that brass ring before you. I love you all, and I thank you for listening. Share this link with anyone you know that's been through some relationship issues. And it's been a joy to be with you. I look forward to seeing you, those of you in the Bay Area, next Wednesday at the Vogue Theater. God bless until we meet again.